right, Ruth, and who do we got with us today on the Six Eyes Bible Time here on the Six Eyes Radio Network?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels. We got you, Sister Emily, and me.
Well, all right. Since we have Sister Emily with us, we are now going to first remind everybody, we want to say welcome one, welcome all to the program today, especially our surrounding cities, states, our countries near and far, as well as those who've called 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. And now we're going to turn it over to Sister Emily to get the prayer requests and to pray over them, and then we'll move on with the program.
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
Could I ask a favor of Sister Ruth today?
Uh-huh.
Could I have her do that on her? Because right now my throat is not doing so kosher, and I'm not
okay.
Doing real kosher, which I'll discuss after the broadcast.
All right. Well, which I will be catching you after the broadcast, Emily. I have to talk to you anyway. So, Ruthie, with her not feeling good, normally she's our co-host and takes care of the perk times. So, right now we'll let you do that, and then we'll let you take care of it after the show at the end. Okay, when we open up mics again. So go ahead, Sister Ruth, we'll let you handle that.
Well, Lord, I don't know the prayer request, but you do, and you got mail, sweetheart, so we'll let you have it. Dear precious Lord, we love and praise your name. We hope everybody enjoys the program today and take care of Emily's throat. We just thank and praise your name for all you do, and we want to serve you always. Amen.
Well, Ruth, you were supposed to ask if anybody had any prayer requests.
Well, we can do that yet, and we can still pray again.
All right. Well, first off, I'm just going to say I'd like to pray for all the little ones listening, pray for their souls, and pray that they get something from the program today that they can use to better their life for Christ. Amen.
Kenny, I was also going to ask the listeners just be keeping me and my family in prayer. You and Sister Ruth know the need there, and I'll leave it as an unspoken for us, but also be keeping our family doctor in prayer.
Okay, is that it for you, Em?
And all my other usual first responders, government, our service personnel, as Brother George would have said, and for the team, including Six, Mikhail, the whole crew.
Oh, and is that it?
And I am complete.
Okay, Ruthie, well, if you got any further requests or if you see anybody else on the board, we'll ask them first if they got any prayer requests. But other than that, we'll let you give yours, and then we'll go ahead and let you give a prayer, and then we'll get into the show.
And we want to praise and bless your name, Lord, and concern about what's going on with Emily and her mom, and also the first responders need help, and so many other people that are out there doing something for you. I haven't heard any more about the COVID, so I think that's a blessing, too. We thank you, Lord, for that. And be with Kenny's request and all the others that Emily had, plus the military. And I'm concerned about the family still of Mrs. Quick, I think it is. It's George. He passed away, and we want to pray for the family still. And we thank you and bless your name. We love you, and be with us on the program that people will be enjoying it. Amen.
Amen. All right. Now we got, of course, some good music for you today, little ones. And we also have Uncle Bob we'll be in. We've got also Ruth's Bible story time, as well as Ranger Bill. So let's get into the program. And then, of course, at the end, any of you that wish to join us again, of course, the number is 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. And you'll be able to press the number one, give us your prayer request at the end, or any questions or comments you may have. So here we go into the program.
Where seldom if ever their flickering hands And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Revelation chapter 19, verse 2. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 2.
For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand.
And you notice there's a judgment here of the great whore. And they said, true and righteous is his, meaning God's, judgment for judging that great whore. And when you find a woman in the Bible named, if they're a good woman in the scripture, that means true religion. And a bad woman in the scripture is false religion. So this is some false religion. We're not going to say who it is, but this is a false religion finally judged by God for having bad religion. And God says true and righteous are his judgments for doing so. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 2. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 2. Amen. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruth, yeah, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. If you're happy and you know it, turn around.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Hey, baby. Be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you.
Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
And now, kids, it is time for Ranger Bill.
Bill, warrior of the woodland, struggling against extreme odds, traveling dangerous trails, fighting the many enemies of nature. This is the job of the guardian of the forest, Ranger Bill. Pouring rain, freezing cold, blistering heat, snow, floods, bears, rattlesnakes, mountain lions. Yes, all this in exchange for the satisfaction and pride of a job well done.
Crisp fall days mean only one thing, football. When the pigskin parade is on across the nation, fighting 11 swarm over the gridirons. In today's story, Henry and I are up north at Brighton College. It's my old alma mater, and the event is homecoming. It's always a great time, except in today's story, when it's arson at Brighton College.
Yeah, operator. That's right, Henry Scott. He'll be up at Ranger Headquarters, Knotty Pine. No, I don't know the number. Thanks. Oh, thanks, operator. Hello? Hey, hi, Henry. Fine. Yeah, I just got your letter today. Sure, I'm glad you're coming up for homecoming. Yeah, I called to see where you were staying. I thought maybe I could put you up here at our house. Oh, you and Mr. Jefferson already have arrangements? Well, I just wanted to say, too, that I'll have my dad's car and I'll take you out for a buzz around town. Okay, great. Uh-huh. Yeah, fine. Okay, be seeing you then. So long.
Ron.
Huh? Oh, hi, Dad.
Sorry, son. I didn't mean to break in on your conversation, but you won't be having the car.
But, Dad, I just promised Henry Scott that I'd take him out when he got here.
Sorry, but you know why.
Well, yeah, but look, aren't you even gonna...
Ronnie, you agreed yourself that it was absolutely fair of me to withhold the use of the car for 1 month. Well, the month is not yet up.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Oh, what a knucklehead I am. Wrecked a car at just the wrong time. So I can't have a good time with a pal.
Ronnie, the sooner you learn to stop and think, the sooner you won't find yourself in so many jams. And you'll find life a lot more pleasant.
Bill, we want you to have a good time up there at Brighton. I'm glad you're taking off a day. Give us a little peace around here.
What's the matter, Stumpy? Bill been working you too hard?
Of course not. Grey Wolf and I can handle anything that comes up.
That's right. You have good time now.
We will. But if you think you might need a little assistance in case of an emergency, just call Brighton College and they'll be able to contact us.
Maybe you, not me. I'm planning on taking a vacation, Forest Ranger or not.
You know, it's a good thing you're just sort of an ex officio member of this ranger outfit, Henry, or I'd have your badge right here and now on the spot. That's the spirit, Bill. Don't let these young whippersnappers get away with anything.
You must have discipline in this work.
Maybe Henry's getting to be too much like that young bear cub that just called him on the phone yesterday.
Oh, you mean Ronnie Winters?
You got a point there.
Oh, Ronnie's just a lot of energy. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah, guys who are a lot of fun can get on the borderline and into trouble, too. Well, you know, Stumpy, Henry can take care of himself.
Henry, good boy.
Hey, what is this? A meeting of the Parent-Teacher Society?
No offense, Henry. Stumpy just has your interest at heart.
He's just reading our local sports book. He's disgusted because Ronnie plays kind of crazy football once in a while. But he's a good sportsman. And he sure can swim. I know.
Well, mind yourselves, and you better get going. You're going to miss that game.
Oh, but sis, maybe you can talk to Dad. I need that car. Well, this guy Henry Scott's coming up here, and I'd like to show him around.
Well, guess why is he so important?
Why, he's a fellow that swam against me in the swimming meet last year. Well, I think it'd be nice to get to know him.
Did he beat you?
Oh, no, I took him. But he's a good sport and a great guy. So, look, Pat, you ask Dad for me, won't you?
No, Ron. Sorry, I wish I could help you, but we do know what Dad'd say. And I'm not going to get in on your problem with him. I hate to sound like a big sister, but we'll just have to learn how to use your own head.
This is quite a game, folks. Quite a game. 19-13, State U out ahead. The ball is resting on the 1 foot line with 1 minute to go. Brighton has completed a 69-yard drive down the field, and this tired team is really sparking. Team break huddle. Brighton up with a T formation. Hauser calling signal. The snap, and it's Hauser to the right side of the line. He's smashed at the line of scrimmage. Did he make it or not? Rest in there trying to unfile. Yes, a touchdown for Brighton. Hauser in a magnificent power drive put it over. Uh-oh. Wilton's down. Brighton's right end. Green flat. Hurt on that last play. Nope, he can't continue. There will be a substitution.
Attention, please.
Here comes the announcement.
Your attention, please. Winners for Welton at right end. Winners for Welton, right end.
That's it. Ron Winters, the sexy son. Good little ball player going in to replace Welton. Teams are lining up again. With Skowski back for the extra point, Sellers will be holding. Both crowd waiting to see if this will do it. 19-19, 15 seconds left in the game. Center's over the ball. Snap, it's placed, and it's off. Oh, no, it's blocked. Somebody broke through right end and slapped the ball just enough to send it offline. That's it. The game's over. Tie score. Brighton 19 and State U 19. Too bad. Brighton could have had the game if substitute Winters had held that right end.
Lost, Henry. The tie.
But the conference hall is all tied up. That means that it's... Hey, there's Ronnie. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Henry. See you later.
I'm sure he's glunk.
Well, any fellow that has the bad breaks he seems to have would take it awfully hard. I guess those State Hill boys just caught him off guard. Before he could catch on, they'd block the kick.
Oh, poor Ron. Never seems to do anything right. Ranger Bill Jefferson. This is Ronnie Winters.
How do you do, Ronnie?
Sure heard a lot about you, but I'd like to have my assist meet you fellas. Pat, this is Mr. Jefferson and Henry Scott.
How do you do?
I'm happy to meet you. Ronnie's spoken of you both.
And Ron, you're President Winters' son, aren't you?
Yes, but I try to forget. Seems as if the prompts have. Say, I guess I should take you fellas under my wing since you are a guest.
Oh, thanks, but I know you and Henry have lots to talk over, and I see some of my old classmates over there.
Okay.
Fine.
Take care of yourself.
Look who's talking.
See you back in the room.
He seems to be an awfully nice man.
Oh, none better than Ranger Bell. Best ranger in the state. Oh, come on, let's get going. They're holding up the proceedings for us. Oh, terrific meal, huh? Sure not like most college banquets.
This is the kind of food they serve here. Maybe I think about making this my college.
Well, not so all the time. Cafeterias get a little boring. Gravy, please, honey.
I'll take some, too, when you're finished. Okay, here you are. Watch it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Ron, right on your new trousers.
I'm sorry. I should have grabbed it sooner.
It wasn't your fault. I'm just a butterfinger.
Well, maybe you can get it out right after the banquet.
Yeah, I can get it clean. That won't hurt a thing.
Some banquet.
Yeah, the best part of it was the short speeches.
I sure hope Pat didn't mind my horning in.
Oh, not at all. She was the one horning in. Didn't get invited out this year, so I told her to come along.
I'm upstairs here in the converted army barracks.
Yeah, sorry we had to put you up there. They're long overdue for raising, but Dad hasn't been able to get enough funds to start another dorm.
Oh,
they've been fine. Neat and clean. Hey, I think I'll take a look downstairs in the janitor's room for something I can clean these pants with. I just hope old Ed Howard isn't around. He's always jumping his boys for invading his premises.
Good. See you later, Ron. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay with me. You'll get a chance then to go through some of the buildings. Ah, where is that light? Ah, here it is. Now to find the fluid.
Oh, hello, Henry. Have a good time?
Terrific.
Yeah, so did I. Met a good number of old classmates.
Yeah, I saw you yakking your head off. Talk about a ladies' gab fest.
Well, your jaws didn't exactly rust out as far as I could see. Hey, plug in the portable. Give us a catch-up on the way.
Ah, here it is. I guess this rag will do. Looks clean enough.
Hey, plug in the portable. Give us a catch-up on the latest news. Did you fix that plug?
No. I guess that wire's pretty frayed, isn't it?
Yeah. But be careful. I think it'll work okay.
Here goes. Hey, there go the lights.
Yeah.
I guess I should have listened to you. It's like we've blown a fuse.
Now, don't worry. The light in the hall's still on. I'll get out into the hall and downstairs.
That ought to do it. Hey, what happened to the light? Fuse must have gone. Where in the world is a fuse box? Oh, fluid all over. What a mess.
Hey,
who's in there fooling with the lights?
I was just clearing.
Hey, you guys, I don't care who you are. I'm going to
I was
you.
Just clearing.
Wait a match. A fire. We got to get out of here. Fire. Ooh, it's heavy. Fire. Fire. Fire.
I can't help it. Hey, look. Here comes Ronnie.
Hey, he's all set. Henry, Bill, everybody get out?
I think so. That sounded like your voice yelling after the explosion.
Yeah, it was.
You sure got sin. Where were you?
Down in the basement.
Hey, you fellas, get out of here. That wall may break loose. Come on. Let's get moving. Is this okay?
I guess so. What a fire. It looks like arson to me.
Arson?
Yeah. Hey, you're the kid that turned in the alarm, aren't you, and pulled out the janitor?
Yeah.
Good job. Sorry you had to get singed like that. Flames must have jumped up and hit you as you were getting him.
Well, I was just pulling him up.
Sir, the guy that started this will really get it.
Oh, that's too bad, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, whole building's gone. The janitor is seriously burned.
Sure ended homecoming in a sad way.
Sorry we had to leave Bronzeville, but without a place to stay, it was probably best. Hey, look at this.
What is it?
They really think it's arson. The way the building went up. Yeah, Ronnie has a nice build up here. And here's his picture.
It's a good thing he found the fire, or there would have been lots more trouble.
Dr. Winters, I've told you and told you that you ought to tear down those old army barracks.
But, Mr. Commissioner, I couldn't with attendance this fall, best in 3 years. I had to have a place to put them.
But we are the fire department warned you, and you wouldn't listen. Now you've really got trouble.
Excuse me. Come in.
Hello, Dad.
Oh, wait outside a minute, son, please.
No, that's all right, Dr. Winters. Just this one last word. You ought to get the remaining temporary barracks down in a month. That's my advice to you. Good day.
He sure was burned up, wasn't he, Dad?
Yes, I suppose I can't blame him. This whole thing is really serious.
Yeah, I know.
So what did you want, son? Say, that was sure a nice write-up in the paper about you. Well, this helps to make up for some of the rough times we've had.
Well, Dad, thanks. But, well, there's something I want to say about the fire. I'm awful sorry it happened, especially to Mr. Howard.
Oh, thanks for your interest.
And I... Well,
excuse me. Dr. Winters speaking. Yes, new evidence? Fine. Anything to help solve it? A broken bottle on the basement floor. Yes, it does. That's going to prove it was arson. I hope you really get him, and I'll spare nothing to see that he's prosecuted to the limit. Thanks for calling. Well, son, I think we're really going to get the fellow.
That's good.
Now, what was it you wanted to ask me about?
Well, never mind, Dad. I can see you're awfully busy. It can wait.
Hey, Ronnie, good job.
Thanks, Mike.
Ronnie, I'm so happy you were right there to take care of things. I'm sure your father was very proud of you.
Thanks very much, Miss Kimball.
Son, I'm right proud of you. Why, I've known your dad for 30 years now, and I can see that you're just like him.
I appreciate your words, Judge Parker.
Ronnie, wait.
Huh? Oh, well, hi, sis.
But why the big sour look? Take all the glamour about being a hero and really make you happy.
Don't rub it in.
Sorry. Guess Dad's taking Mr. Howard's condition pretty hard, isn't he?
Yeah, so am I.
Ronnie, your trousers.
Yeah, what about them? Oh, I know they're singed. I wore them because they're probably ruined for good anyway.
The spot's gone. I thought you'd have real trouble getting it out. Mom cleaned it for you?
No, I used some fluid. And? Well, the gravy came out. Where are you going?
Ronnie, when did you get that spot out of your pants? Ronnie, please, where did you take it out?
Oh, it was...
The barracks, wasn't it?
Yes, Pat.
Oh, Ronnie.
It was an accident. I didn't mean it.
You haven't told him?
Listen, you know adults, they wouldn't listen. I tried to tell Dad, but he was so busy I couldn't do it.
You are going to tell someone.
I don't know. I don't know.
Dr. Winters, the board of directors sent Mr. Conway and myself here this afternoon to talk to you about the fire.
Oh, sorry I wasn't in the office, Mr. Stauffer, but, well, the fire officials wanted me here at the scene. Oh, you gentlemen met my son and my daughter.
Hello.
Yes, we have. And a nice job, young man.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, it was. We're really concerned, Dr. Winters.
Well, I can assure you, no more than I am.
But, Dr. Winters, concern doesn't make up for the fact that the school has a black eye.
But, Mr. Conway, you can't help it if a building is set on fire.
But it's not the arson we're concerned with. It's the fact that the old barracks purchased from the government weren't torn down. We expected that they would be by this homecoming time when the board of directors met. If they had been, this wouldn't have happened.
Gentlemen, you know the facts as well as I. We've an overflow of students this fall. We've had to put them somewhere.
I think that the suggestion from the board was that we should put extra beds in the larger rooms. That might have covered the situation.
Well, it was only a suggestion, and I took the liberty of keeping the barracks going in hopes of the building program starting this fall and the new dormitory finished by winter.
But that hasn't worked out. No, it hasn't.
Well, gentlemen, I can't understand why the board of directors is so disturbed.
Simply this. If we don't get this fire solved, our reputation will fall in the eyes of the town, and the alumni will stop giving.
Oh, again, sir, may I say something? I think the folks in town are rooting for us. They don't feel that way.
Well, that may be the first reaction, young man, but Dr. Winters, I think we'd best go to your office where we can discuss this a little more privately.
Yes, I'd like to.
Best not to display our troubles to the whole world. Glad to have met you again, Ronnie. Thanks again for your trouble.
Come over to the office in about an hour, son. I'd like to talk.
Those men practically tore Dad apart.
And you've got to see him in an hour. What does he want?
I don't know.
You going to tell him?
But they think it's arson, and if Ed Howard dies...
Well, all you've got to do is explain.
Oh, I don't know.
But it's only going to get worse. You don't do it now.
Oh, Pat, why?
Look, I'll walk over to the office with you, and then you can tell him.
Well, Mr. Brown, the state's attorney's office can be assured of absolute cooperation. The men that just left, Mr. Conway and Stauffer, assured you of that, too. And my son should be here any time, and he'll help.
But we've got to act faster. Can't you get the students together and see if there are any clues we can turn up?
Well, it's afternoon, and they're scattered all over the city in employment.
But don't you realize the man is almost dead? He's as good as dead.
Well, we'll plan on a meeting tonight when the whole student body, as many of them as can be here, will be present. The rest will meet tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel a lot better now, Pat. Thanks for boosting my morale a little by walking over here with me.
Now hurry up and get in and tell him.
I will. See you at home.
I hope you bring home good news.
I'll be there with bells on.
Dead! As good as dead!
Dead?
Tell what you
said. I gotta get out of here!
So the state's attorney wants us to give some information about the fire, huh?
Yeah, just a routine check, I guess.
Did he say they have any new evidence?
No, not a bit.
I wonder how that old janitor is.
Pretty low, I guess.
Well, I'd sure like to... Hey, watch out for that crazy guy!
Bam!
Oh, just about got hit. Well, you know who that was?
No.
It was Ronnie Winters.
Ronnie Winters?
Yeah, and he looked scared to death.
I'll make a U-turn. We're going to follow him and get him to cut down that speed.
Why in the world would he be tearing away like that?
Can't seem to overtake him.
Well, don't forget, he got a good start on us when we turned around.
Yeah.
Bill?
Yeah?
You suppose it has something to do with the fire?
I don't know, pal, but I sure aim to find out.
Yeah, just as I thought. That patrol car's following me. But I'm gonna shake him and get away.
Hey,
very curvy country is making him slow down.
I don't think he knows the road as well here.
That's it.
Bill, look. Huh? He's headed down that hill too fast.
He'll never make the curve at the bottom.
Oh, I can't look.
Hang out, Henry. Here we go, too.
I didn't make it. Look what's coming up ahead.
Yeah. The curve where those fellas died last month. Henry, we got to force him to stop before he cracks up. Shout at him as we go by.
Okay. All right, now. Pull over, Ronnie.
Henry.
Come on, pull over. You're going to hurt yourself.
No one's going to get me.
Hang on, pal. I'm going to force him.
God, he's leaving the road.
Did you see him, Henry?
Yeah, here he is. Oh, you took the bark off that tree.
Yeah. Let me get this door open. Ronnie, are you all right?
I guess so.
See if you can move. See if you can crawl out.
Yeah. Oh, I feel weak.
All right, let's see. You look okay. Now, Ronnie, what were you doing?
I was just taking a trip.
Going awfully fast.
Yeah, you sure were, Ron. I guess I was.
You could have really hurt yourself. Not to mention the blood all over your clothes and the car. Don't even like to talk about it.
Only it wouldn't be like that gravy you spilled on your pants the other night. Say, those are the ones, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, where's the spot?
I've taken it off, but I still can't seem to get rid of it.
Huh? I don't get you. You feeling woozy?
Oh, no, I'm all right, but...
But what?
Oh, can you fellas help me out? I'm in an awful jam. It's that fire.
What is it, Ronnie?
Oh, I've been scared of telling, but with Dad's car all smashed up, I'm going to have to make an explanation.
Go on, Ronnie. We're listening.
Well, I was down in the basement cleaning my trousers when it all happened.
You were?
Everything would have been all right, but a fuse blew or something. Well, a fuse must have blown because the light went out. I got up to fix them and knocked over the fluid. And then Ed Howard came in, and before I could stop him, he lit a match, and he got it.
Yeah.
I guess he was pretty bad. Guess I'm at fault, too. You didn't have anything to do with it.
I blew the fuse. Come on, fellas. We've got to get back to Brownsville and get this whole thing settled.
Well, thank goodness you aren't hurt.
Well, there isn't much to say. I suppose Pat has told you.
No, I haven't. That's your job, Ron.
Oh, well, Dad, I was in the basement using cleaning fluid when the lights went out and a fuse blown.
And that's where we come in. We were responsible for that.
And in looking for the light, the fluid bottle got broken. Ed Howard came in and lit a match to find the fuse box, and that's it.
Oh, I'm sorry, son. Only I wish you'd come to me sooner. Would have saved a lot of trouble.
And, Ronnie, I stopped in at the hospital to see how Mr. Howard was, and the report's better.
Well, how'd you know Ronnie came out here? We only passed him by accident.
Well, I was just coming out of the hospital when I saw him racing out of town, and so I ran to get Dad.
Come on. The job isn't finished yet. Ronnie, we've got to get you to a doctor for a checkup.
And stop the state's attorney in his hunt for an arsonist.
Boys and girls, see you next week for more adventure with
Ranger Bill!
It is that time for Bible story time with Sister Ruth.
How everything began. Many years ago, I read a story about a boy who picked up a strange little object on the street. It was shaped like a horseshoe and had a mysterious name written on it. The boy tried to pronounce the name, but failed. He tried again and again. Then one day, as he said the word a different way, the object began to grow in his hand. It became bigger and bigger until at last the horseshoe was as big as a doorway. He stepped through it and found himself in a foreign country far across the sea. Day by day, using his horseshoe, he visited all sorts of strange places. Then he thought he would like to see how people lived long ago. So as he whispered the magic word to the horseshoe, he said he would like to visit Rome in the days of the Caesars, and presto, there he was. Of course, it was only a made-up story, but it does give us an idea. Would you like to go and see what the world was like back in the very beginning of time? You would. All right, let's imagine that there is an archway through which we can pass and travel back across the years. Steady now. Careful. Now we're going through it. Everything around us is fading away. Chairs, table, carpet, radio set are all disappearing. Faces are growing dim. Lights are going out. It's getting darker and darker. Swiftly we speed back across the years. It's like being in a rocket plane. We streak over hundreds and thousands of years in a moment, past the time when Jesus lived on earth, past the time of David, past the time of Abraham, past the time of Noah, past the time of Adam. Oh dear, how dark it is. We can't see anything. All about us, it is pitch black. Not a glimmer of light anywhere. Not the tiniest candle. Not the faintest star. Only darkness and night. But we can hear something. It is the swishing, gurgling sound that water makes, just as we've heard it many a time at the seaside or when boating on a lake, water and darkness. As the Bible says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Of a sudden, we realize we're not alone. Somebody is here. We know it. We feel it. Amid the darkness, the emptiness, the loneliness, God is here. The Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the waters. God is looking upon the world he has created, planning what he will do with it. Suddenly, from somewhere, we cannot tell where, we hear a voice. Musical, strong, resonant, unlike any voice we have heard before, it commands the darkness to give place to light. Instantly, the darkness vanishes. We can see again. Not very far, only a few feet, a few yards perhaps, because all around us is a thick mist. But how wonderful is the light after the dark. There is no blue sky, no bright sunshine, only a sort of brilliant fog, and under it water, water everywhere, no land, not just this vast, restless, heaving ocean. Not a man or a woman, not a boy or a girl, not a bird or an animal. No, not even a fish in the sea, only light in the mist and on the water. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day, the very beginning of everything in this world, this old world, the beginning of time, the beginning of history, the beginning of all the happiness and sorrow of mankind. For it was on this day that the great and loving Creator, with a wonderful purpose in mind, drew near this black and old planet, this dark little speck in space, and said, "Let there be light."
All right, little ones, it's that time to have a little time with Uncle Bob.
Oh, hi there, kids. I'm a honeybee, and today I'm going to tell you how I make bee bread.
Betsy, is that you?
You got it, Uncle Bob.
Welcome to Nature Corner, Betsy Bee.
Thank you.
Were you serious when you said you make bee bread?
Oh, very serious.
Do you bake it?
No way, Uncle Bob. Bee bread is unbaked.
What is bee bread?
It's yellow pollen that my sisters and I gather from flowers.
Oh, I've often put my finger inside an Easter lily and touched the yellow anthers and pulled it out covered with yellow pollen dust.
Do you make bread from it?
No, I don't, Betsy.
Oh, the pollen that I gather is sort of like the flour you use in a loaf of bread.
But there's more than flour in a loaf of bread.
I know it, Tan. I add several other ingredients to the pollen before it becomes bee bread.
Like?
The moment I touch the pollen, I add nectar to it or a little honey from my stomach.
Oh, really? What does that do?
That makes it sticky, Uncle Bob, so the millions of little pollen grains will hold together when I put them on my hind legs.
Your hind legs?
Yes. That's where the great creator put my pollen baskets, Uncle Bob. One on each hind leg.
Oh, okay. Is that why I see little yellow bumps on each hind leg?
You've got it. You're looking at my pollen baskets.
See, Bethy, before you tell the kids and me how you put those tiny little pollen grains in your baskets, tell us what else you mix with the pollen.
The wise master builder put a special gland in my head that leads to my mouth. Lots of different chemicals come out of that gland, and I add them to the pollen.
You mean the moment you touch it?
You've got it. I mix them with the pollen.
Neato. What do these chemicals do, Betsy?
These special chemicals make the pollen come to life and produce enzymes.
What are enzymes?
Enzymes are substances that cause the pollen to change into something very useful.
Oh, okay. Could you explain that?
They make the pollen release or give out vitamins and amino acids that my bee bread needs before it's done.
Okay, I get it. The vitamins and amino acids are trapped in the pollen, and the only way they can be released is for you to put a drop of these chemicals from your head's gland on the pollen.
You catch on fast. But that's not all, Uncle Bob. Because the chemicals from my head's gland made the pollen come to life, antibiotics are automatically made.
Let's see, antibiotics are something that kids take when they get an infection, right?
That's right. Antibiotics kill bad germs that are alive.
A boy wants to know, how do your antibiotics help your bee bread, though, Betsy?
They were designed by the intelligent creator God to kill bad forms of life that sneak into the pollen.
Really? What would happen to the pollen if you didn't have these antibiotics?
The bad forms of life would grow and spoil the bee bread.
This way it stays fresh, like homemade bread. Your antibiotics are like a preservative in the bee bread.
Exactly, Uncle Bob. You might find this interesting. Scientists at the U.S. Department of Agriculture have found these good things in my bee bread. Lots and lots of protein, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and enzymes.
Whoa, that's incredible.
Wait, there's more. The scientists found 107 good molds, 81 different types of yeast, and 29 good forms of bacteria in my bee bread.
And you make it all on your two hind legs.
That's right. I bake it on my back burners.
Good one, Betsy Bee. A girl wants to know why you make bee bread.
The whole beehive would soon die without it, Uncle Bob.
What do you mean? You have honey in the hive? Isn't that enough?
No way, Jose. It's enough for the worker bees who go out and gather pollen and nectar. But honey is not enough for the babies and the queen.
Yeah, that's right. Each hive has a queen.
And she lays thousands and thousands of eggs that hatch into tiny larvae, which change into worker bees. The queen could not do that without the bee bread.
You mean the queen eats it?
No, but the workers who care for her do.
Oh.
They eat lots of bee bread. And because of that, their bodies are designed by the Lord to give off a special kind of food that they feed to the queen.
Oh, the kids and I see now. That's what makes it possible for her to stay alive and lay thousands of eggs.
You've got it. Then, when the little eggs hatch, all the worker or nurse bees in the hive chow down on lots of bee bread. And once again, their bodies give off a special kind of food that they feed to the tiny little larvae that hatch from the eggs.
That's their baby formula, right?
Right. And if they didn't get it, they would die. The workers are busy all day long eating the bee bread that my friends and I bring into the hive so they can make that special baby formula. During the summer, a hive will use about 200 pounds of bee bread.
Whoa. Well, I see what you mean now, Betsy. The entire beehive would soon be dead if you didn't gather pollen and make it into bee bread.
There would be no future generations of honeybees.
Wow, what a neat scientific design, Betsy Bee.
What a neat scientific designer, Uncle Bob. I mean, that ought to tell you and the kids how great he is.
Right on target, Bets. That's why the Bible calls Christ the Creator the All-Powerful One.
You got it. I hope the kids do, too.
They will, if they read Colossians chapter 1 in the Creator's book, Betsy.
Would you and the kids like to know how I gather pollen?
Oh, yes, yes. I was going to ask you that. Let's hear, Betsy.
When a honeybee buzzes into a flower blossom, she comes out with pollen all over her body.
Interesting. Why is that?
The master designer covered my body with fine hairs, Uncle Bob.
Oh, do these little hairs pick up the pollen?
Yes, the good God designed them to be like little brushes to sweep the pollen right out of the flower.
Neato. So how do you get all that pollen off your body and into the little shopping baskets on your two hind legs?
Well, I have six legs.
Mm-hmm. Three pair.
And each leg has five joints in it.
Ooh, you can bend them at any angle then.
Right, plus each leg is like a comb.
Explain.
The Lord Jesus Christ, my master builder, put hairs on my legs like the teeth of a comb.
Okay, and you comb the hairs of your body with them.
I use my middle legs a lot when I comb. Each time I get a comb full, I'll add a little honey and some chemicals from my head's gland to change it to bee bread. Mm-hmm. Then I'll rub that leg against one of my hind legs.
Where you have your pollen baskets, huh?
Right. Only it's not a hollow basket.
Oh.
Instead, it's a wide area on my hind legs where the Son of God has designed long, curved hairs.
Oh, I get it. And the pollen builds up around these curved hairs. They hold it in place.
I'll load up these baskets until they amount to one-third of my body weight, and then I'll buzz home.
Is it true that you have a special way of cleaning all the pollen from your two antennas?
Yes. God gave me a neat leg tool on both front legs. When I bend each leg at the last joint, you can still see a little opening in the joint, see?
Mm-hmm.
The mighty Creator engineered it that way so I can use my two front legs to scrape off all the pollen on my two antennas.
You just bend your leg around each antenna and push the legs forward.
And they totally sweep my antennas clean.
Just like that. That's important, isn't it?
Oh, yes, because I feel or touch with my antenna. Plus, it's a direction finder for smells.
Kind of like my nose and my hand.
You've got it.
Super, Betsy B. Boy, this has been great having you here today. I've learned a lot. Thanks again.
Well, thanks for having me, Uncle Bob. Kids, make no mistake about it. Christ, the great Creator, engineered me very carefully, very scientifically. Remember him. Love him while you're young, okay? You'll be glad you did.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 71, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen.
7 days a week of what you really want. The Six Eyes Radio Network.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
All right, Ruth, and who do we have now left here on our program here that may have any prayer requests or what have you, or any questions or comments?
We have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and me.
Okay, well, anybody with any questions or comments, like Emily, you got any?
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah?
I got to tell you something today. You know, we had another listener in on our broadcast, but he's in the kitchen working.
All right.
It's my cleaning person.
Yeah, what do you think?
What did you think of our broadcast today, Dennis? What did you think of what you heard in the broadcast? He goes, I wasn't listening.
All right.
We've been cutting up while I was on mute, too, so.
Well, hey, he can always get a copy of this on the rewind, as we call it, by going to blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes Radio Station 2. And, of course, when you do Station 2, you write the word station, and then you put in the digit 2. Say again, Emily.
Kenny. Kenny.
Uh-huh.
I just want to take and I'm going to do this with him over there doing the dishes. I'm going to just ask our listeners to be praying for my cleaning guy, Dennis, that he'll get the energy he needs for all the other work he does.
I bet you that'd be fun. All right. Anything else that we missed earlier when we started the show, Em?
No, but if you want, I can do the closing today.
Okay. And Ruthie, anything extra you got?
Yeah, it's not the same. I think I'm still concerned about a few friends and just praying for some people that have passed away, the families that are going through trouble, lost souls. I think it'll cover it.
All right. Well, then, Em, we'll let you give us our closing prayer, and want to remind everybody to join us on Station 1 at 7 p.m. for the Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Eastern, and you call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617, 7 p.m. Eastern tonight here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Okay, Em, you can give us that closing prayer, and we'll be out of here.
Also, just for our little ones' information, that the head of the youth and prayer team got a blessing this week. The blessing was, I got a call from an old friend of mine, and the party is bringing me up some things I've been needing for my apartment since the day I moved in. And I'm getting blessed with this stuff for absolutely no cost. I offered to give the party gas money, what have you. They said, no, your money's junk to me, which is things you pulled on me. So with that, I will give the closing prayer, and then any other comments you might have, then I'll turn it back over to you, Ken. Lord, I thank you for this broadcast today, and Lord, I ask you for any little ones that were out there listening that don't know you, that they would surrender their life to you, God, and I ask you just to be with them as they go to and fro, and be with them as they start their new school year. Bless teachers teaching them. For all the prayer requests we've had today, Lord, that you'd be with each one in their own way. And I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody, we'll catch you at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. God bless.
Love y'all.
Hey, Kenny, and how fast is that going to be?